Chapter number 4. I'm going to preach to you on the subject of sin at the door. Sin at the door. Genesis chapter number 4, let's start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Now here's my text. If thou doest well, shalt thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. God would not let him find death. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. God wanted him to stay alive in his misery. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Pastor Chad, would you ask the Lord to bless the preaching, please? Amen. Now, verse number 7 being our text verse, I'd like you to take a look at that with me if you would. The Lord says this in verse number 7 to Cain. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. Let me say tonight that if you do right, God will accept you. But he says this, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. You say, things aren't going very good for me. I'm not doing very good today. Then let me give you this, the simple answer from God. The problem is sin in your life. Let me ask you a question about the United States of America. How are we doing as a nation today? We're not doing well, are we? You know what the problem is? Sin. That's the problem with this country. What we need today is a solution to our sin problem. Because back in chapter, in verse number 1 and verse number 2, there's two boys. No, one is Abel and one is Cain. And both of those boys have the same problem. They're both born now with a sin nature. Both of them received a sin nature from their parents, from Adam and Eve. So they're born under a curse. They're born after they've been kicked out of the garden. They both have the same common denominator. That common denominator is sin. One of the boys handled the problem right and God accepted him. The other boy did not handle the problem right. And God did not accept him, and it did not go well with him. Let me say this about our country, folks. We have lost our minds as a nation. And I'm just telling you tonight, between me and you, take it or leave it, and I hope to God that I'm wrong, but we're done. We are through. My children do not have a chance of knowing the America that I knew. And the America that I know is not the America my parents knew. And it's most certainly not the America of my grandparents. My grandfather was a World War II veteran. Listen, that was the last halfway decent generation. But that generation even fell short of what God would have us to do. As a nation, we are done. God's done with us. You know what the problem is? It's sin. That's the problem. But there's a solution. And the issue is, we're really not going to find the solution. Instead of being people who follow God and who follow God's word, we're people who have made the sodomites legal, the lesbians legal, the fornicators legal, the drunkards and the dopers have all been excused from their sin. And nowadays, we even vote the same into office. Who we have ruling our nation is a bunch of sodomites, a bunch of lesbians, a bunch of fornicators, a bunch of drunkards and dopers are making the decisions in the White House and down. I'm telling you, the problem with America is it's sin. The problem with this country is sin. But nowadays, you can't say the word sin. You say, hey, that's hate speech. Don't talk like that. Kick God out. Kick the Bible out. Kick the rules and the regulations of God off of us as a nation. And you watch what happens. We're done. We're done. If you ever watch professional boxers fight, you know, the guy gets knocked down, he gets to a certain count to get up. And America's at a point right now where the count is almost over and her knees are wobbly and her eyes are rolling back in her head and she's trying to stand up and she's done. She's not getting up. And the problem is sin. I think God's tired of it. I think God's tired of it. And the Christians in this nation don't care enough to really get to work making a difference. We're so scared of ruffling feathers. We're so scared of offending people. We're so scared of lawsuits that preachers won't even get up and preach like they're supposed to preach anymore. Because, you know, brother, you could get sued. Well, no wonder we're in such a stinking mess. And by the way, it wasn't men with that kind of character that built this nation anyhow. It wasn't men that were worried about offending England. It was men who were more worried about fearing God and had some principle they were willing to fight, bleed, and die for. If I go to jail, I go to jail. What did Esther say? If I perish, I perish. Oh, well. At least I perish for something worth perishing over. Amen. I'm sorry. I'm already fed up. And I'm not a politics preacher. You know that if you've been here any length of time. But I'm already fed up. What is this garbage? You take the insurance or we're going to tax the pants off of you. What is that? That's not American. But you know what happened? You know, I'll tell you exactly what happened. The people have got what they wanted. We voted them into office. I've seen on the news this priest who's a sodomite. They call him gay. Gay means happy. He's a sodomite. A sodomite priest saying he's hoping that they overturn the whole legalized marriage thing in Michigan. And he's ready and set to start marrying them up. God's done. Any nation that accepted sodomy, God destroyed. Cain's blood is crying out to God from the ground. How about the blood of babies? You don't hear me preach. I've had people get mad at me. How come you don't preach more on abortion? Well, what are you thinking about getting one? Because if you are, I'll start preaching on it. Why don't I preach on abortion? Because, you know, like 99.99% of the time, nobody in our church is wondering whether or not that's of God. So why would I preach that at you? So you can hoot and holler about them? Why don't you go win them to Christ? Amen. Right? But I'm just telling you, the problem in this nation is we've been shedding blood for so many years. God hears that blood from the ground and he's done. God does not overlook a bloody nation. He's done. What's the problem? Why is she not well? Because sin lieth at the door. God's not accepting her anymore. We have made money our God. And when you love money more than you love God, it's the root of all evil. America loves money. God's done. I heard this story of a woman in Detroit that got hit by a car. You probably saw it on the news. They slowed down to take a look and kept going. And people were slowing down and driving around her and leaving her in the road. And they just kept driving around her in Detroit. One car, they got on camera, the ladies stopped the car, got out, went and looked at her. She turned around, going back to her car. She's holding her stomach, trying not to puke, because whatever she saw was so gross. But the streetlights are out, so you can't see what it looks like. But it's so gross, the lady's trying not to puke. She gets back in her car and leaves. Finally, after that, a truck stops and calls 911. Killed in the hit and run. Saw another story on the Detroit News. I got that Fox News app here on my iPad. I'm all, you know, up to date and contemporary here. So I'm watching that Fox News app. I saw another story where they said this: when a guy walked into the party store and a lady was standing in line behind him, somebody was saying somebody just recently got killed, and the question was hit and run or drive by. Hit and run or a shooting. Hit and runs are becoming so commonplace down there that that's the question if somebody gets murdered. Did they get run over or did they get shot? You know what you got, folks? You got an insane nation that is sick in the head. I've seen a story about a man in Philadelphia, a blind man, beaten by two or three other guys that could see. They're beating a blind man, and he didn't even try to fight back. They just beat him. It's sick. Seen a story about a guy in Ann Arbor being chased, and you see him on the surveillance camera. He hits a curb, flips off the curb, and lands on his face on the ground, busts some of his teeth out, and swallows some of his teeth. And the guy that was chasing him took his bike and left. Then passers-by, this is Ann Arbor, a very safe town, passers-by saw the man laying there unconscious, busting his face off, roll him over and start rifling through his pockets. Then she leaves and goes gets her boyfriend and comes back, and the two of them rifle through his pockets and they're taking things and leave him laying there, could care less if he lives or dies. Folks, this is getting worse and worse and worse. Pastor Chad showed us a few weeks ago a news clip of a guy in Manhattan or right outside of Manhattan. Lady sitting on her couch in her living room with her child. All of a sudden, the door just gets kicked in, and a very large man who has long criminal record walks in, snatches her up off the couch, and just starts beating her. Throws her on the floor and just beating her. He walks away, he's going through the house looking for something to steal, comes back in the room because they had a little surveillance camera thing on top of their entertainment center, walks back in the room, she's sitting there, he comes up, gets down like this on the ground, and comes up from underneath. He knows what he's doing, okay? My grandpa's a professional boxer, he taught me how to hit. You should see the guy hit. He knows how to hit. Gets down like this, comes up underneath her, and boom, like that. You see his whole body jerks, he's trying to punch her. Then he takes her, drags her over, and I'm not mistaken, smashes her head into the entertainment center, right? Between the door and the entertainment, smashes her head in there. Picks her up, takes her over, opens the steps, and throws her down the steps and slams the door like it's nothing and keeps going around the house. Her little child sitting on the couch. You know what we're coming to in Genesis chapter 6? A lawless, crazy, and insane culture that sheds nothing but blood. And that's the country you're living in. You guys see that biker group that ran that pedestrian over in Manhattan? You know one of the guys that got arrested? It's an undercover cop. A man in his car with his family. Those bikers come and wrapped around him, get in front of him and make him stop. So he finally runs one of them over to get away. And then he's now a victim, and the family wants to sue the guy who ran him over because he's now paralyzed. You know what I say? Good. Good. He had it coming. Guy's got his family in the car. So they take a helmet off. They use the helmet to smash his window open. They pull him out of the car. I think they stabbed him. Folks, I'm telling you, we're just getting started. We're just getting started. Wait till the economy crashes. You say, what's the problem with our country, preacher? Sin. Sin's the problem. But glory to God, in the face of sin, there's always a solution. And even though a culture can wax worse and worse, God can still raise up a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Cain was wicked. The Bible tells us later on, he was of that wicked one. He was of the devil. Cain is wicked, but there's an Abel in the passage. Let me ask you a question, Christian. What are you going to be? How's it going with you? You know what the problem is with Cain? In verse number 3, he brings a corrupt gift to God. It says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. You say, what's so corrupt about that, preacher? I'll tell you what's corrupt about it. The ground is cursed, isn't it? Cain's out there tilling the ground and somebody's shooting me. Cain's out there tilling the ground, right? And he's working in that ground. He's working that ground. But you know what? Cain knows what God expects. Cain's heard the stories. Cain knew what mom and dad dealt with. Actually, you see it down there in verse number 16. God drives him away and sends him out away from God's presence. So although they're not still living in the Garden of Eden, they're still staying very close to that Garden of Eden where they were actually in the presence of God. So they're not in heaven, quote unquote, but they're in His presence. They could hear the voice of God. They could hear God speaking to them. They knew what God wanted. They dwelt in the presence of God. Cain knew what God expected, but Cain didn't want to do what God expected. Cain wanted to bring Cain's own works to God, and Cain expected that his works were good enough, that God would accept his works. Cain got there before Abel. He brings the fruit of the ground. And now begins the course of world religions. Every world religion since then is based upon a man representing himself to God, a man representing his works to God. And all the religions of the world have that one thing in common. They say, if you're good enough, we're all trying to get there, and you got your way and I got mine, but if your good outweighs your bad, if your works are right, God will accept you. But that's just not a matter of fact. Actually, the Bible tells us that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. Joel chapter 14 verse 4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. You can't bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing. Let me ask you a question. What are you? You're unclean. You are wicked, okay? Get a grip on that. I'm trying to be mean. I think you got the cream of the crop right here. I really believe that. I mean that with all my heart. But you know what you are? You're wicked. And so am I. So who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. How am I going to come to God and say, look what I did, Lord? Look at this, God. Doesn't this impress you? Aren't you happy with the sacrifices I've made? Aren't you happy with the work that I've done? Look at this fruit. Look at the field that I prepared. Look at the work I've accomplished for you. Now you accept me. And God says, You ain't done right. It's not by your works of righteousness. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. But Romans chapter 3, verse 10, none righteous, no, not one. You know what Cain's problem was? He thought God would accept him because he was a pretty good guy. He did a pretty good job. He has something to present. And he brings it to God. And God says, I don't like it. Let me just tell you the honest truth. I appreciate everybody that serves in this church. I mean that. I really do. The nursery, the ladies had the nursery meeting last night. I heard it went well. It was a good spirit. That's praise the Lord for all that. I appreciate everybody that works in that area and does the pain I know that it can be and does it with the right spirit. But can I tell you something? That doesn't earn you status with God. I hope you all give. I praise the Lord for the giving. I praise the Lord for the way that God meets the bills and the heart that you guys put into it. I believe that. I believe there's heart put into it. Our visiting preachers come and I've never been embarrassed at the love offering we got to give them. I appreciate that. But can I tell you something? Your works don't impress God. We always want to be noticed and recognized for what we do because we think we're a little better than we really are. We're not that impressive. God's not impressed. Verses 4 to 5, look what God says. Abel also, he brought in the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. God said, all right, I'll accept Abel. Cain, not taking it. Let me ask you a question, Christian. I know you're saved, right? I believe you're all born again, as far as I know. Let me ask you a question. Is God accepting your service? Does God accept what you bring to Him? You realize two people can do the same act. They're both coming to worship God. They're both coming to bring an offering. And God says no to one, and God says yes to the other. I want it to go well with me. I want God to accept me. But here God is rejecting Cain. Notice in verse number 5, his countenance has fallen. Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. What's he upset about? Why is he so mad? Can I just tell you something as a preacher? I see it all the time. Somebody will come in and all of a sudden they've been fine for a long time and all of a sudden the countenance changes. And I can see it a mile off. And you say, oh, somebody's not happy. I used to let it bother me. I don't let it bother me anymore. You know why? By God's grace. Sometimes I get mad enough to spit, but most of the time I'm all right. You know why? Number one, because I know that you got the same problem I got. You got a sin nature. But number two, I know God doesn't sit in heaven biting his fingernails, wondering what he's going to do for us if so-and-so gets mad. Amen. See, I need to keep that in here so I can just be fair and equitable across the board with everybody in the church. That countenance changes. You know why? Because Cain didn't get his own will. Verse number 5. He brought what he wanted to bring to God, and God said, nope, I don't like it. You know why people get upset? Because they don't get their way. You know what the root of that is? Pride. Selfishness. You know why we rotate everything here? So people just get used to the fact that this ain't your way, and it ain't your position, and it ain't your job, and it ain't your nothing. That's my class. No, it's not. Can I tell you something? This is not my church. And I don't take this wrong. I don't mean it wrong. But when I study my Bible and watch how God instructed Paul to talk to the church, I believe I'm right within my rights to say what I'm about to say. And I mean that prayerfully with a humble attitude. If anybody has a right to say that, if a person here in the church has a right to say that, it would be me. Is that fair? You understand what I'm saying? Who else started the church? All right, now I speak as a fool, like Paul said. I don't have a right to say that. Because there's not a person in this room that I died on the cross for. There's not a person in this room whose sin I could take care of. Well, you led me to Christ, preacher. Yeah, I didn't save you. He saved you. Amen. So I don't have a right to say, well, that's my pulpit. That's my church. No, it's the Lord's church. I'm going to bring the best that I can to God by studying the Bible. I'm going to bring to Him what He expects from me so that He'll accept me. And you got to bring your best when you come in here on Sunday, when you come in here on Wednesday. You bring your best to the Lord, but make sure you're bringing what God accepts so that when God looks at what you have, looks at what you brought, He accepts it. And if God says, no, I don't like that, watch your attitude. Don't get that countenance change thing going on. Oh, somebody's feather got ruffled. Well, good. Maybe they needed it. Amen. People that are head of different departments around here will come and say, I'm worried because I think so-and-so's upset. I say, good, and I walk away. End of discussion. So why? Well, because I know they weren't trying to hurt them. So let them get over it. Don't baby them. Let them get over it. Amen. Cain got upset. His countenance fell. And God said, what are you looking at me like that for? Why do you got a bad attitude? I'll tell you why, because there's a sin problem. You'll see it with your kids. I'm already seeing it. That whole, hey, don't do that with me. What's your problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. I didn't get my way. That's the problem, whether it's me between them and dad or them and mom or them and a sister. I didn't get my way. Why are you upset? I'll tell you why if you're upset, because there's sin lying at the door. Only by pride cometh contention. Amen. I hadn't planned on parking it here so long, but I think maybe the Lord wants me to. Only by pride cometh contention. When that countenance changes, it's because there's sin going on. He wouldn't have a problem if he'd have done right. You'll notice something else. Verses 7 and 8, there's sin in his heart. He says, if thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Now all of a sudden his bad attitude goes from just a problem between him and God to a problem between him and his brother. That's what happens to sin when it goes unchecked. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, I'm just talking about the United States of America. They had a problem with God back when. had a problem with the Bible being in the schools. Did you see this week that there's a school, I believe it was in Ohio or Indiana or something like that? Since 1947, they've had a portrait of Jesus Christ hanging up in the school. And they just got sued and settled out of court for $95,000 to keep the ACLU off. And they settled out of court and took the picture down. There's another story of a school that's doing their typical and standard yearly Christmas program, and they're being restrained as to how many songs they can sing with Jesus' name in it. It has to be like a 1-3 or a 1-4 ratio. They're trying to push Jesus Christ out of Christmas. There is no Christmas without Jesus Christ. It shocks me that we're even here today. It shocks me that I even now have to defend Christmas. When I was a kid, the preachers were trying to defend the fact that Christmas was a Baalite worship and that it wasn't even the real source of genuine Christianity. And they were trying to teach God's people that Christ wasn't even born in December. And they were showing them where the roots of the tree and the whole nine yards come from. Now our country has come to resent God so much we have no idea where the roots of any of it were. And relax. I have a Christmas tree whenever we feel like putting one up. Sometimes we just don't feel like it. It's just too much of a stinking mess. Now that the kids are getting older, it's getting kind of fun and they can do it and all that kind of stuff. So we do. I'm not one of these guys that says you can't celebrate Christmas. I'm just telling you, it used to be Christmas wasn't conservative enough for the Bible believers. Now, we have to defend the fact that we even have Christmas. You know what the problem is? They got a problem with God. That's the problem. Oh, but we're going to love our fellow man and we're going to make our nation better and we're going to take care of each other and we're going to take from the rich and give to the poor and we're just going to, you know, we're going to make sure that affordable health care for everyone. It's not going to work like that because they got a problem with God. And when they got a problem with God, they won't treat each other right. They'll murder, they'll rape, they'll steal, they'll kill, they'll torture each other. That's human nature. It started all the way back here in Genesis chapter number 4. When Cain had a problem with God, he killed Abel. So guess what, Christians? Guess what, American church? The games are over. I'm telling you, the games are over. They drive by here all the time, and we live in a great, safe, and fairly well-to-do environment. And they drive by here all the time and roll down the window and scream vulgarities at the kids that are playing on the playground. Just because of the sign. Happens every summer at least 2 or 3 times. And that's conservative. It's going to get worse. Aren't you happy you came tonight? You want to know the truth, folks? I'm fired up. It just doesn't make me get to where, oh no, what are we going to do? It makes me say, bring it on, amen. I'm glad to be a part of something that's happening, and nothing would be happening if what we got wasn't real. Why do they hate God so much? Well, because the Bible's so hard and austere and so authoritative. Let's pass some laws for the Muslims and put in foot washing banks. Hey, their Bible teaches them to kill you and your children and your wife. And they say you can lie, cheat, steal, and murder. You can commit every sin in the book so long as it's in the name of their moon daughter, sun god, Allah, and this perverted prophet Muhammad. And they say they can kill you. And America wants to pass laws for them while they tell you and me that we're done, that we're hateful. You know what you and I do? I'll tell you what you and I do. You and I find out that some brothers in the church are going to have a hard time, and we start figuring out what we're going to do to help take care of them. Because God's first, so we take care of our brother. You kick God out, they're not trying to take care of their brother. You start reading the stories right now about Obamacare. I read one story, a lady's, her premiums went up. I mean, her premiums went up. She has to pay almost $590-something, almost $600 a month for her insurance, and her deductibles are over $13,000. So 600 times 12 is 7,200, plus over 13,000 in deductibles. She has to have $20,000 a year coming out of her own pocket to pay for her health insurance, which is way more than she was spending before. And she's in the $45,000 to $55,000 a year bracket. Just trying to make it affordable for everybody. No, you know what it is? It's cut out the middle class is what it is. Rich, poor, that's it. How many of you realize that really rich people don't really care if there's inflation? They kind of like it. Yeah, because you borrowed their money. So when you pay more interest, they get richer. There's some people that aren't panicking because of the recession. Make sure you get out of debt if you're in debt and try to keep it that way. But if you are already in debt, don't worry about it. Amen. Don't get all wound up about it. Oh, we need to just chill out. God will take care of you. Amen. What if everybody loses their houses? Well, then let them come get us all out of our houses. What? If, I mean, really, they're going to leave you in there? They want the water running. They want the lights on. Let's just chill out. It's going to be all right. God's in control. Cain's problem was he got rid of God, and then he had a problem with Abel. You know what happens with you and me? You start having problems with your brother and sister in Christ. You start having issues in the church. Do you know why? Because God no longer is in the proper place where he ought to be. When God's in the right place, I read it today. Yet I showed you a more excellent way. And then he launches into 1 Corinthians 13 and lays out Christian charity. When God's in his proper place, you don't have problems with your brother. You don't get all upset about something. You don't let stupid things get under your craw and drive you out of church over something dumb. Amen. Part of why I preach the way I preach, folks, is so that we can build this thing slow and steady. Amen. Just, you already know where I stand. I mean, that's why a lot of problems don't happen, because you just already know what to expect. I think we need to talk to the preacher about this. I wouldn't talk to him about that. I don't think he really cares who trashed the bathroom and didn't fix it. Amen. Put God first and you'll overlook your brother. You'll help him out instead. Cain got envious. He was envious of his brother, so he slew him. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 14. We're going to run three verses to the end of the Bible, and then we're going to come back to Genesis. Proverbs chapter number 14, please. Proverbs 14, verse 30. Proverbs 14:30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. That's why you ought to do exercises that help your heart. If you want to live a long time and serve God in this body, but don't make your body the main thing. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. You realize envy will hurt your health? Literally. Your lack of spirituality will affect your physical health. Envy will rot your bones. And you know you get it. You know you get it. Oh, no, I don't get it. Yeah, you wait. I'm not going to. But if I pulled in Sunday morning on a Harley Davidson or a BMW, some of you just be, oh, he's supposed to be a preacher. If he has that kind of money, why don't we support 50 missionaries? Right? I wouldn't do it, so relax. But it'd bother you. Some of you already got bit by that bug. You see somebody else's prosperity and it drives you up a wall because you're wicked. Amen. Envy's the rottenness of the bones. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter number 3. You want to put some things in perspective? I was getting my hair cut today over there in New Hudson. By the way, pray the guy comes to church. He said he's going to. And we were telling, he was talking about, and good advice from an older man to a younger man. He was telling me, he said, don't let the little things bug you. He said, you pulled in a red flex, right? I said, yeah, that was me. He said, somebody dings the car door, don't worry about it. Make those four little girls more important. I said, I think you're right. I think you're right. You want to put things in perspective? Why don't you pray for Jamie and Synthel? They're not sure what to do. They said if they give the baby radiation, they can be pretty sure the cancer won't come back. But if they give her radiation, their chances are real good of her being severely retarded, of having major brain damage. So their options are chemo and radiation, or just chemo or surgery, or they don't know what to do, man. They're in a mess. And he told me this week, he said it's in the worst place it could be. They said there's no worse place because it's hard to get those treatments to the brain. Yeah, and you get all bent out of shape about stupid stuff. You're rich. Amen? You're rich. James chapter number 3. You say, who's upset, preacher? I have no idea, but the Lord knows. James 3, verse 14. As far as I know, everybody was happy, said hi to me, smiled on the way in. Praise the Lord. James 3, 14. But if you have bitter, now watch, bitter. You see the word bitter? Bitterness and envy go together. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish.
You know where envy and bitterness come from? Not God. Cain did not get that from following the Lord. He got it from the devil. It's devilish. I mean, who in this room has not had an opportunity to get bitter? There's not a person here who hasn't had a great chance to get bitter. Well, my dad didn't treat me right. My mom wasn't the mom she ought to be. My sisters, I got beat up in high school. Everybody made fun of me because I'm ugly. Well, we still make fun of it, you know. We've all had chances to get bitter, and there's a whole lot worse than that. Go to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 25. That's the wrong verse. I'm looking for the root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Anybody know it? I can quote it to you, but I got the wrong reference down. It says to watch lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Anyways, you know where it is. A root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. 12:15, thank you. I put 25. There it is. Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know what bitterness will do? It'll mess you up. You say, go back to Genesis chapter 4, please. You say, why isn't God blessing me like God's blessing him? Why doesn't God seem to accept me like God accepts him? How come I try to witness and nobody ever gets saved and that person gets them? And how come it looks like God's blessing them financially? Well, if you, wouldn't you be accepted if you were doing well? What does James say? The effectual, fervent prayer of what? A righteous man availeth much. You know what God still hates? God still hates sin. Once saved, always saved. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. I believe that. Why do you believe that? Are you crazy? No, I studied my Bible. If you'd study it, you'd believe it too. Amen. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Absolutely. But let me tell you something. God hates sin. So I'm glad I'm not going to hell. But between here and there, I can be accepted and I can be rejected. My prayers can be heard and my prayers can be ignored. My work can be profitable and my work can be rejected. And God expects holiness out of His people. Be ye holy, for I am holy, the Lord said. God expects holiness. I don't care how wicked the generation is. I don't care how easy it is to get a hold of wickedness. I don't care how often it's shoved in your face. I don't care how violent it gets. You think God expects you to go home and beat your wife because there's so much violence on TV? God understands. Well, there's so much immorality and immodesty in our culture that I just have dirty thoughts and God gets it. And if those old guys like, you know, John Wesley and Martin Luther, if they lived in the day and age we live in, you fool, you ain't read the Bible. God drowned them out by Genesis 6 because they were so wicked. So there's a good chance that back in the old days, they were worse even than you. And there were still some righteous men that walked with God. I want to be that one. It excites me what's going on in the world. Weird weather patterns, crazy government, and crazy devil-possessed people. Woo! Praise the Lord, man. This is good. Jesus is coming back. What's so such a bummer about that? I'm telling you, I believe this. You say it's a little charismatic of you. Well, then, I don't care. I believe if God's not done with me and they put a gun in my face and pull the trigger, the spring will break. I know life can happen. I get that. But if God wants me alive, ain't nothing they're going to do. Amen. Amen. What are you worried about? Do right. Do right. Don't sin. Get the sin out of your life. Get the sin out of your life. If God's not accepting you, if it's not well with you tonight, the problem is sin. Get it out. That envy, that bitterness, that's what crucified your Savior. The Bible says the chief priests and the Pharisees delivered him for envy, and Judas betrayed him for bitterness, didn't he? Who was his dad? His dad was Simon the leper. Jesus didn't heal daddy. Judas betrayed him for bitterness. The chief priests and envy and Pharisees crucified him for envy. And all the way back here, a physical sin is committed when the man brings the wrong offering to God, expecting God to accept his good works because he's a good guy. And God said, I don't accept it. And then he turns on his brother once he had a problem with God and he kills his brother. And a physical sin of murder is committed because of envy and bitterness. Jealousy. That's scary, ain't it?
Because you walk around a good Bible-believing church where everybody's cleaned up, and you carry that stuff around in your heart. And then we wonder why we don't get the power of God showing up. We wonder why souls don't walk the aisle every week. We wonder why the church ain't as packed out as it ought to be. I'll tell you why. There's sin in the camp. There's sin lying at the door. Notice the third thing. His communion with God has been rejected. Look at verse 12. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Yeah, notice there in verse number 12, God can actually curse the physical work of a man. When you till the ground, you're not getting as much as you could have got out of her. You realize when you let sin creep into your life, you won't get as much out of your job. You sit back, and I've heard preachers say this. You can tell what God thinks of money by who He gives it to. Yeah, it's probably spoken from envy. Joseph, well, who's it? Joseph of Arimathea that gave his tomb to Christ was a rich man. You guys ever see the story of the young rich ruler who came to Christ and what do I got to do? And he said, do all these things. He said, those have I done from my youth. Do you remember the response? What Jesus said, before you think of him rejecting Christ because he loved his money more, what did it say about Jesus? Jesus looked on him and what? Loved him. That's a good one for those of you who've been raised in a Christian home and never backslid, and you've heard the idiot preachers going on and on about, he was forgiven much and loved me much, and that's your problem. You never smoked dope or drank, so you don't love Jesus like you ought to. Well, maybe Jesus loves you more because you haven't. Now, if you've been forgiven much, love him much. Amen. That's good. But don't take that thing too far. Maybe Jesus loves you more because you haven't. It's a good thought, ain't it? And maybe sometimes God blesses a guy and gives him promotions and moves him up and blesses the work of his hands because the heart's right. And the man's not going to fall in love with the money. He loves the one who gave it to him. That's the problem with America. We now love the gift more than we love the giver. So the giver will pull back the gift. Amen. Can I just be honest with you? And this might not be a thing I ought to say. But if I can't be trusted with money, then I don't want it because I want Jesus more. I want Jesus more. I mean that, and I hope he doesn't try me by blowing my tranny up on the way home or nothing. But, you know, I love Jesus more. I'd rather have Jesus in poverty than money and know Jesus. Now Cain, loving his work, loving what he did, bringing it to God because he's such a great guy, expects God to bless it. God doesn't bless it. And not only that, but now Cain turns on his brother, commits a heinous sin that scars him for life, and his communion and fellowship with God is driven off, and God's not even going to bless his work anymore. You better be careful about keeping your priorities right. Look at verse 16. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Now there's so much in here we can't get to it, and I'm not even going to try. But God drives him out of his presence. Look at verse 14. He says, behold, no, verse 13, I'm sorry. Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. And from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. His sin, look what it did. It ruined all of his relationships. All of his relationships got ruined because of his sin. We're having marriage trouble. Okay, I'll tell you what the problem is. Sin. You don't want to hear that, right? I know you don't want to. You want to bring your spouse in and let the preacher rip the spouse's head off. You just be careful. It might not go like you expect. Sometimes people think, I knew what you were going to say. You were going to yell at us. And you'd be shocked that I don't. He's going to rip her to shreds. Yep. Be careful. You know what the problem is? It's sin. That's the issue. And sin destroys relationships. I've seen it happen in my own family, and I hate it. I hate sin. I hate sin. I've seen it in my own life, and I hate it. I've seen what it's doing to my country, and I hate it. Sin wrecks everything. And Cain says, God, I can't take this. And God says, Cain, you didn't listen. And now he's already done what he ought not have done, and he has to bear the results of his sin and the scars of his sin. He says, God, I'm going to be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. Everything I wanted, everything I've tried to attain, it's all gone. And God said, all right. He said, look, people are going to kill me when they see me. God said, I'll mark you so they don't. Was that a blessing or a curse? Folks, I've seen people living a life that's miserable into a miserable old age and dying lonely and miserable. And I just for the sake of honoring the dead, I'm not going to get into too much detail, but you've heard me talk about it before. Some of my own loved ones I've seen laying there on that bed covered in blood. The most grotesque thing I've seen yet in my life. And lonely. Had no, he could have made it. He didn't want to. Folks, sometimes that's the worst thing is when God says, nope, I'm not going to let anybody kill you. I'm going to keep you alive. Sin's an ugly thing. It's so ugly. Notice, though, the last thing in verse number 4. I want to end on a good note tonight, not a negative one. There's a correct way to handle our sin, and it's been shown us here in verse 4. Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, you know what it's talking about, so there's no sense in diving into it. But Hebrews 11:4 tells you this. Abel offered a more, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You know what Abel brought to the Lord? He brought him a sacrifice. Who gives life? God. So God expected blood to be shed. He brought life to him. He brought a lamb to him. Well, God was going to give his son Jesus Christ as a lamb. You know the story. That's the first one of the first pictures in your Bible of the Lord, of his death on the cross of Calvary. God expected blood to be shed. Abel came with that lamb and he shed that lamb's blood because he knew that's what God expected. That's what God did for Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden. God slit that lamb's throat to cover them. Abel knew what God wanted and brought God what God said. Abel didn't come to God saying, look at what I've got, God. Abel came to God saying, oh God, I'm a sinner. Oh God, I know I'm falling short. Oh God, I'm in your presence enough to know how wonderful you are. And I'm bringing the sacrifice to you that you expect so that I can be accepted by you. He was not looking for God to recognize him. He was recognizing God. He brought God what God expected. He slit the throat of that lamb. He let that thing bleed out, and the blood of the lamb is what got Abel through. It wasn't his own works. And it ain't going to be your works that get you through either. You come and you serve in the nursery and those kids do to you whatever they're doing to whoever's down there right now. Do it through the blood of the lamb. You come and you clean the church or you do anything around here, do it through the blood of the Lamb. Don't get up here and sing on Sunday if you're not doing it through the blood of the Lamb. Do your best. Amen. We've been working on doing our best. We want to get better with time. Amen. But we're doing our best because look at the verse. Verse 4. What did he bring the Lord? The weak and sickly he could get nothing out of? He brought him of the fat thereof and the firstlings of his flock. He brought the Lord his best. And once he brought his best in before the Lord, he slit his best throat and let it bleed out as a sacrifice to God. I heard Brother Peacock preaching, and I don't know that our church can take it yet. But he's preaching to his church, and he was preaching on tithing. And he said, 100% of what you got is God's. What if God told you to live on 10 and give him 90? Would you give your best to God? What Abel brought to the Lord. You know what God expects from you and me in Romans chapter 12? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, Christian. Go to one last verse. Let me show you this verse, and we'll close with this verse. We won't even come back to Genesis. Go to Romans, please. I got to show you this. God hit me with this so hard this week. It was just, I just stuck on it and just meditated over it and prayed over it. It just hit me. I mean, I've had this passage memorized for a long time, and it just all of a sudden grabbed me. Look at verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Is your flesh weak? Is it weak? Did I tell you where to go? Romans 8? Did I tell you that? Romans 8? I'm sorry. Now the pages are turning. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, in the likeness, He didn't sin, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That lamb's been slain. Now watch verse number 4. This is what caught me. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Christian, if you'll let the Holy Spirit of God lead you every day and walk after the Spirit, Romans 12, present your body a living sacrifice to God and follow God's Spirit only, you can please God. And He'll accept what you bring to Him and bless it. We are in the end times. There's no doubt about it. And the punishment that America's fixing to get is greater than America can bear. But you know what I got? I got something they can't take away from me. I got the blood of the Lamb. I got the Holy Ghost of God living in me. And friend, I don't care how bad it gets, by the grace of God, I want to walk after that Holy Spirit and let God use me in the process. I was talking to somebody recently who said, are you worried about all this? And I said, do you want to know the truth? No. He said, why? I said, let me put it, forgive me for this, let me put it in a worldly context. In my industry, this is the perfect time. My stock's shooting through the roof. Business is going to get better and better and better. Because people are going to realize how bad they need the Lord. And though masses of them will lose their mind and shed blood and fornicate and everything else and come after us, there's many of them that are going to start looking for answers. Oh, you mean the offerings are going to go up? No, probably not, because they're not going to have much left. But my industry ain't about this world. It's about the next. Let's live in such a way we can please God and be accepted of Him. If not, the only problem is sin lies at the door. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. We're thankful for the truths of the Word of God. Bless us now, Father. Help these things to sink in. We thank You for so early on in Your Word, just laying out everything that pertains to life and godliness. Lord, we love You. We love this book. Help us to do right, Father. If somebody's sitting here tonight and they got sin in their heart, sin in their life, somebody may be listening by the way of the internet, Lord, and there's problems going on, there's sin, there's issues, there's rebellion against God, problems with their brothers or sisters in Christ. Help them just to repent of it, Father, and get it right. Help us to get the sin out of our life. Lord, if somebody's listening, either tonight or even by way of the internet again, Father, if they're listening, they're not saved. Help them to realize their own works will never save them, but condemn them and damn them to hell. And that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that shed His blood to take away their sins. Help them to trust Him. Bless the message in Jesus' name. Amen.